Hello, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Suns, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, I'm your host, Evan Sider. And as always, I'm joined by co-host Brendan Clean. You can follow me on Twitter at EastSider. You can follow Brendan on Twitter at BrendanClean14. We are joining you live from TalkSport Resort Arena, as we promised yesterday, which will be a regular occurrence, by the way, throughout most of the regular season. We are with you following and really not even going to cut any words here. It was an embarrassing loss for the Phoenix Suns tonight, 131-113. It really wasn't even that close through most of the game. The Lakers led by 30 at some points, I think, in the second half. And really, from the second quarter on, it was just an absolute bloodbath. The Lakers outscored the Suns 44-24 in that second quarter when they were trailing by only 2 points at the end of the first quarter. If you want to go through some quick players really quickly, Lance Stephenson and JaVale McGee led the Lakers in the scoring, which tells you really all you need to know there. LeBron almost had a triple-double with ease, 19 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds, 3 steals. From the Suns' perspective, Devin Booker had 23 points, 7 assists, 7 rebounds on 8 of 16 shooting, keeping his efficiency up. DeAndre Ayton had 22 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 blocks, with a team-leading minus 4 in that category. So actually, Mikal Bridges led it, no surprise that we'll get to him later. But what's your initial takeaways from tonight's game? Because in my recap around Bright Side of the Sun, it's probably the shortest one I've had in a while, probably around 600 words, because outside that first quarter, it was just an embarrassing effort.
Yeah, it was more of the same mistakes, and I think we knew yesterday when we were doing our quick preview of the game that if they played as poorly in transition and if they made the same mistakes, whether it be turnovers, silly fouls, that plagued them through the last two, that it was going to be a similar result. And I mean, they narrowly missed a 20-point loss, so I guess that's going to look a little better than the last two, but it might have been even worse than the Denver game. I think the Golden State was pretty bad, but I think it was worse than Denver.
Just from an effort standpoint, that surprised you just in the second quarter there? It seemed like, I don't want to put any guys down here, but just from what I saw with my own eyes, it just seemed like a lot of guys were just jogging back. There was no communication at all on defense. And that's something that we walked in at training camp, me and Kellen Olsen, we were there, and it was so loud in that gym for communication drills. And all of a sudden, four games in, you barely see it outside of a few players, and it's really inconsistent at that.
Yeah, and the biggest problem, too, I mean, I think the defense is just, it's going to take a while when you have somebody as young and inexperienced as Ayton anchoring the defense. There's going to be issues, and there's not a ton of defensive talent overall, just guys that are stoppers like that. I think that's going to be an issue. The biggest problem is when you see it happening on offense, and the offense today, the ball wasn't moving like it had. Individual guys not knocking down shots obviously doesn't help, but there was a lot of breakdowns where it would just become one-on-one, one guy just trying to make a shot, and that's so counter to what the coaching staff obviously tried to drill into these guys through training camp. And so when it comes unraveled like that, it's super discouraging.
Yeah, it's rough to watch at points, to be honest. I know the Suns once again had 31 shot attempts last night, but I wanted to ask before we go into our segment of free throws here, are there two guys that deserve free throws for both of us, or just one each? What do you think?
I mean, I've been giving them free throws to other people too. It doesn't have to be somebody good if there's nobody deserving on the team, but I don't know if I have two, to be honest.
Yeah, okay, let's just roll with one then. Who do you have?
I think the free throw for tonight would be, I think DeAndre Ayton had a good fourth quarter, if I'm going to try to make something positive, which that maybe isn't even deserved. But again, I think the one thing that we were talking about a little bit before the game too, kind of drawing parallels to the beginning of last season, is that I don't think this team has the lack of depth and lack of resilience to get completely destroyed like they did at points last year, multiple different times, not even just at the beginning of the season. But I think when you see just how much talent there is in somebody like Ayton, when even he has a bad game, it looks as good as it does here, 22 points, 11 rebounds, I think 5 assists again tonight. Yeah. So when he's able to do that, even when he's struggling, it's certainly nice to see. So I think he scored 10 points and had 4 rebounds in that fourth quarter.
He put a lot of garbage time stats.
And he had a monster block of, I think it was Kuzma.
Mm-hmm.
Where he leapt almost touching the top of the backboard, it looked like, and slammed the shot away. So it's nice to see that he didn't completely just get discouraged and come unhinged, which I think is a possibility when you're that young and you're that discouraged from your team and in your own performance.
Yeah. At points, his defense was a little rough. Devin Booker's, we'll get to him probably in a little bit here, but his defense continues to be a really, really bad thing, and it's even worse than last year, to be honest. But my free throw is going to be once more, I think it was the same as the last game, it's Mikal Bridges. Played I don't know why. He only played 14 minutes, and they were down by 18 at one point, but they were all down by 30 at some points before he even got in there for the last.
Yeah, he didn't even come in until there were, like, 3 minutes left in the third.
He played almost the entire fourth quarter, though, after looking at the minutes here. So let's see here. 2 points with a plus-minus, plus zero, once again leading the Suns, and two steals, 1 3-point attempt. But he did have a really nifty assist, and another one that almost went down as well without just a bad shot attempt. So
that nice lob to Tyson.
Yeah, he's really connecting with him already. So I didn't see that much of Villanova. I just think Mikal gets the system already more than some of these guys, and it seems pretty obvious. So I know CJ Holmes, the athletic, straight up asked Igor Kokoshkov afterwards about Mikal's playing time. He's like, are you going to play Mikal Bridges more minutes to get a spark going on defense or even anywhere else? And he said he didn't want to put too much pressure on him right now, which makes some sense, but it confused me just a little bit because it seems obvious to us that Mikal Bridges is putting distance ahead of him, but even between a guy like Josh Jackson.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because that type of talk about him as if he needs to kind of be brought along slowly. I think skill-wise and physically he's pretty NBA ready, and he's performing every time he gets on the court. But not only that, like, you compare him to DeAndre Ayton, who the coaches seem to have no issue playing high minutes and getting him on the court in different types of situations. Bridges was the best player on the best team in the country last year.
Yeah,
he carried that team to a championship. So it's interesting to hear that as if he kind of needs to be brought along more slowly than Ayton, who's younger and not as productive and prolific in college. It's just it's a weird way to handle it, I think.
What do you think about just his minute allocation so far? Because I was sitting next to Dave King and Jero Bourget through the entire game and was telling them just, why isn't Mikal in? It was the second quarter. Why isn't Mikal in? Third quarter, why isn't Mikal in? End of the third quarter, he finally gets in there, and it's a blowout game already. But do you think that we see Igor continuously tweak his rotation, especially if Booker's out with a hamstring injury? By the way, we haven't touched on that yet, but he left in the fourth quarter with a hamstring injury. Do you think we see sometime soon, maybe within this week, where Igor starts to tweak his rotation and where Mikal can get at least 20 minutes per game? Because when you see him perform, like I said, like a guy next to Josh Jackson, I feel like that he's really separating himself.
Yeah, and it seems like by kind of – he said, like, he liked – Kukushkov said, I like that Mikal can come in and change the tempo, give us a new rhythm, kind of change the course of the game a little bit. And to me, that sounds like I'll put him in when the game's out of hand.
Yeah.
And it's not what should be happening, because I think, again, we look at the not just the box score, but Jackson was in foul trouble today. He wasn't knocking down his shots.
Even using the eye test, too.
Like. Yeah, he had a lot of fourth quarter buckets too. I think he made a couple shots. He made a three and had a pretty nice dunk in the fourth quarter to kind of make his stats even look nicer. So he's continuing to struggle, and I think eventually I hope that starts to balance out again. But I actually came up with a second free throw just because it has to go mentioned, is the Lance Stephenson off the backboard dunk alley-oop to Lonzo Ball that just kind of erupted the arena, and then Suns fans just trickled out afterwards.
Yeah, that's, as you guys know, I'm from Indiana, and I grew up watching guys like Lance and Paul George, that team with Roy Hibbert, David West, George Hill. So it was really weird for me seeing a good Lance game, because I haven't seen that since I was in childhood, so that was just weird to watch. But before we go ahead, let's go right ahead, I guess, into our flagrant fouls. We could have really multiple flagrant fouls tonight, so we'll just stick with one, though. What's your biggest flagrant foul from tonight's game?
I think it has to be – it's kind of crazy to keep having the same one, but transition defense. I mean, JaVale McGee, of all people, I think he is, in his own way, kind of a difficult matchup for Ayton, who does lose track of guys so consistently on the interior. The Lakers were clearly made that a focus to get out and challenge Ayton specifically in transition. They would, you know, pressure him to come up and step up to the ball and then create easy opportunities from cutting. They were incredible cutting off the ball today. Every guy, whether it was in transition or in the half court, was sprinting toward the rim. But Ayton looked lost most of the time trying to contain that stuff. Now, when you're going against a passer as smart as LeBron James, you can forgive a few mistakes.
Yeah.
But JaVale McGee scored 20 points today. That's pretty bad.
Yeah. And when, like I said earlier, if Lance and JaVale are leading your team in scoring, then you must be having a great night from the Lakers. And it turned out that way. 131-113 is a final score. So my flagrant foul is going to be a general topic here, and just effort overall. And it's the first time I've said that all year, and it's kind of bringing me back to 2016, 2017, 2018 Phoenix Suns, where when they got down a hole, they kind of just submitted a little bit, and it seemed like that kind of happens tonight. Even Igor said, like, they went into their shell, and they don't want to do that, obviously. So looking at that and touching a little more on Devin Booker's defense, because I wanted to hit on that just a little bit. You were texting me during the game, and is Booker ever going to play defense? And it's a true statement right now, because a guy like JaVale, Kyle Kuzma, Lance Stephenson even, these guys were getting Booker in pick-and-roll situations and just dicing him up.
Yeah, there was a stretch in the third quarter, LeBron's last little stretch playing, because he didn't even play in the fourth quarter. He was just doing the thing we've seen him do in four straight finals where, okay, the worst defender on the team, your guy comes screen for me, and I'm just going to score on you. So yeah. when it gets to that point, I think it's a point of pride where you have to step up. And hopefully, after a while, we've seen it in four straight games now, Booker responds. But now, I mean, we should mention, too, he pulled up in the end of the third quarter with a hamstring injury. We're not sure what it is. Looked like a strain or a pull.
This will know more tomorrow morning.
They'll get probably an MRI in the morning, and we'll know. So maybe by the time you guys hear this, you'll be able to find it on Twitter. I'm sure we'll have it on Bright Side of the Sun too. But you know, maybe that complicates his ability to recover and step up on that end of the floor. But it needs to happen. Otherwise, these results are going to continue to happen. When your best player, the guy who's playing the majority of the minutes, and plays a position that's at a premium in the league, he needs to be better.
If you're thinking of this from the training staff's point of view and the coach's point of view, if Booker has a chance of re-aggravating the hamstring, are you sitting him out for a little bit?
Yeah, they have a back-to-back this weekend, which certainly isn't going to be helpful for them. I think maybe if it's on Saturday still bothering him, even if he can play, maybe you think about Sunday sitting him.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I guess
we'll see, but obviously it could just be that he's ruled out completely, but the back-to-back won't help.
I think if it is something to monitor moving forward, I think maybe he might sit out till next Wednesday, which might make some sense, but that would just be a really rough stretch for next week without Booker. But what's our biggest number we're watching for, or stat to watch here?
I think that it's actually one point I want to make, because I didn't get to it when we were kind of breaking down some of the numbers yesterday, is rebounding. So the Suns actually out-rebounded the Lakers tonight, 44-43. It was that way most of the game. It was actually a little bit wider at one point. Part of it is that the Lakers, a lot of their possessions were made baskets. They shot really well. They were getting out in transition, so some of the possessions weren't just the normal miss, reset the offense and go down the floor. But I think I've seen on Twitter just a lot of, the Suns can't rebound. They have no rebounding, like, studs, nobody who can actually grab a rebound, and that's not really been true. They've actually been one of, like, an average defensive rebounding team,
Aiden's
statistically, and Ayton's been producing. Chandler had a good game today. Really, the only thing they're not doing is offensive rebounding their own misses, but, I mean, that's a nit to pick at that point. I think overall they've been a regular average rebounding team. It just looks bad, I think, because they're getting scored on so much on the inside, but I just wanted to highlight that because I've seen it so much and it kind of hasn't been true.
Yeah, that's a really good point. The Suns were a middle-of-the-road rebounding team last year, if I'm not mistaken, with Len and Chandler, but they could dip up or increase a little bit more with a guy like DeAndre Ayton instead of Alex Len in his place. So my big number is actually Devin Booker again, but this time it's about his offense with his three-point shooting and his free-throw attempts, which I talked about in my recap. Just the further evolution of Devin Booker's game that we're seeing in front of really taking place right in front of us. I know he was struggling tonight, minus 14 in the box score, but six three-point attempts, seven free throw attempts, and out of 16 total field goal attempts, which kind of tells you a little bit about how he's trying to get, so to say, as far as his offense goes. He had a lot of free throws, like I said, get to the rim a lot. So we're seeing almost an entirely different Booker, so to say, because the mid-range game is almost completely cut out. I haven't even seen him take a mid-range shot in a while. So
it's nice to see in the third quarter when the lead got blown open and the team was frustrated, that when he kind of tried to shoulder the offense, that looked like going to the rim, attacking the basket, drawing fouls, rather than at points during the last few seasons that would have been, I'm going to post up, I'm going to pull up for mid-range, I'm going to force some shots that I shouldn't be taking. This was more aggressive, probably more tiring. Maybe that eventually contributed to the injury that he was doing that so much, but I think that's just better to see as his go-to rather than like the inefficient stuff we've seen in the past.
Yeah, last year, if I'm not mistaken, from cleaning the glass, just off the top of my head, I think it was 44% of the shots were mid-range shots last year, but that's definitely going to go way down this year. But anything else from tonight's blowout loss? 131-113 is the final score, and it really honestly wasn't that close.
No, I think this team can use 2 days off. That's what I'll say.
No, they definitely need 2 days off. The Suns fall to 1-3 on the season. The Lakers now are 1-3 on the year after really throttling the Phoenix Suns tonight, 131-113. We'll be back to you guys tomorrow for our next episode.